Well, howdy doody, folks. This is Robert Berry, and welcome to Retro Crush, the podcast, episode 77. Got a fun little miniature extra episode for you this week, where we will be interviewing my father-in-law, Carl Moon, and we're going to talk about the golden age of television that he worked in. He started working for a TV station up in Eureka, California, back in 1962, and through various other jobs and ultimately bringing cable TV service up to that area, ended up just retiring just a few years ago. So basically nearly 40 years in the business, and we got to talk about a lot of the weird, quirky things about television from that time that no longer exist. So I'll save those surprises for you there. But I do want to thank a new sponsor that we have. I know we mentioned this was going to be a commercial-free podcast, but you know, got to pay the bills. So I'd like to thank the fine folks at Kenner for being our new sponsor. And let's play the commercial. This is sponsored by Milky, the Marvelous Milking Cow.
Here's Milky, the Marvelous Milking Cow. It's fun to milk her, gonna do it right now. She drinks the water when we pump her tail. She's raising her head, it's milking time now. Her pretend milk is a-feeling the pail.
She drinks water and goes pretend milk.
Milky, the Marvelous Milking Cow.
Milky, the Marvelous Milking Cow with pretend milk tablets. She's from Kenner.
Wow, pretend milk tablets. That's actually kind of an erotic TV commercial theme if you listen to it and think about it being a big lady instead of a cow. You know, because, you know, she drinks water when you pump her tail and milking her and stuff. Anyway, maybe that's just me. Hey, before we get started, I wanted to read a funny bit from a magazine I found. I was out yard sailing. This is great yard sailing weather again, so always finding some great stuff here. And I found a stack of old Science Digest magazines. And here's an April 1956 issue of Science Digest. And in the inside, there's a thing that says, it's safe to eat DDT. And it says here, for a full year, 14 men voluntarily ate DDT, the famous insecticide, to test its safety. Some of them ate every day 200 times the amount of DDT an average person gets from his diet through the residue left on fruits and vegetables sprayed with this insect killer. The DDT came through the safety net with flying colors. During the entire test, none of the volunteers complained of any symptoms or showed any sign of illness which did not have an easily recognized cause, clearly unrelated to the exposure to DDT. And it mentions the doctors that signed off on that in the science institutes. And it says, DDT, as has been known for years, is stored in the body fat, and the maximum storage is achieved in about 1 year. Apparently, after that, no more is stored, in spite of continued intake. So beyond that, you can just have all the DDT you want. The scientists concluded, quote, that there is a large safety factor associated with DDT as it now occurs in the general diet. Now, I was prepared to laugh at this and just say how crazy it was that they were feeding DDT to people like that, and how this appeared to be some sort of snow job article just to make people feel that it was safer than it was. But as I did more research on this, it looks like, you know, DDT may not really have any scientific connection to any sort of disease or cancer. I mean, there's studies that show that they fed like 33,000 times the amount of DDT to primates and did not develop any difference there, and several human test subjects did not show any increased cancer risks. But I guess what happened is in 1962, this person wrote a book called Silent Spring or something like that, which is basically scared people about DDT, and because later things happened with Agent Orange's use in Vietnam and several definitely dangerous chemicals, the public mistrust of the scientific community was so high that it really led people to just ban DDT outright. So kind of interesting. It appears to be a pretty effective insecticide that was just banned because the public kind of went wacky about it. But there's ultimately no scientific connection to DDT, so causing illness. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of Health Talk. Next week we're going to be talking about Malathion and Alar, the apple menace. So anyway, here's the promised interview with Carl Moon. television pioneer of Eureka, California. I know that might sound like dry subject matter, but this is a pretty fun interview. We get to talk about some of the way television channels were run, and what prompted this thing was that we were talking about how at the end of the broadcast day in days of yesteryear, when all the programs are over at like 2 a.m. or so, they would play the national anthem, and then you'd see this video of the flag waving while it played, and then it would just go to static. Now, you've seen several genre movies that are definitely showcase that, like in Poltergeist, or it's always like the classic way to illustrate that somebody stayed up too late watching TV and they're asleep on the couch with the national anthem playing. But in these days of infomercials and 24-hour programming, I don't believe there's any channel left in the country that signs off with the national anthem at all. But with half the crap that's on at 3 a.m, maybe that's not a good thing. So here we go, interview with Carl Moon.
I'm here with my legendary father-in-law, Carl Moon, who is a pioneer in the television industry. Carl helped bring cable TV service to Eureka, California for the first time, correct?
Yes.
What year did you first start working in the television industry?
In about 1962.
That's before I was even born. There wasn't much cable TV back then. Was it just standard network TV that was broadcast over cable?
There was no cable in Eureka at that time. Cable was just barely getting started nationally. I worked for Channel 3 in Eureka, and it was a black and white television station. Signed on.
It was segregated?
There was no color pictures.
Colored, such an outdated term. Well, so we were talking in the, because we were just laughing about how the fact that TV channels used to end with the national anthem and footage of a flag waving and other patriotic images, like, Republicans kissing babies and stuff like that. But you don't see that anymore these days, because there's always something on TV now. By the end of the sign-off day, now it goes to infomercials pretty much. This was not, people took that for granted, that flag stuff would automatically come on. But how did that work out, really?
Well, when I started to work at Channel 3, they signed on at like 7 a.m. and signed off at 2:30 or 3:30 in the afternoon. And
Not in the evening? They'd sign off that because they just ran out of shows?
Yes. Wow. And then they, within a year or two, they were running evening programs, and they were running till 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember signing the transmitter off after watching The Tonight Show.
So usually it was the late night talk shows that would wind up the day?
Yeah, Johnny Carson, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then you run the national anthem and turn the transmitter off, go home.
So now you had to run one of these for just the one channel, right?
That was Channel 3. This is before cable television. This is just a broadcast station.
So now once you, eventually, I mean, you retired a few years ago, and there was lots of channels, but I mean, there's a point where you're obviously working at cable now, and there's several channels. Was it your responsibility to kick off the national anthem for more than one channel?
No, when the cable, I didn't run the national anthem personally. Each station had their own programming. The cable company just carried the stations. Signed on and signed off when they felt like.
I got you. So while you were with just Channel 3, though, you had to manually kick off. There was no automation back then. You actually just had to have a human being there waiting to hit the play button, huh?
That's right. That's right.
Did you ever mess up?
Oh, yes.
What's one of the more memorable messing up the national anthem stories that you came across?
Well, it was film on a projector, and I had a problem with the film on the previous commercial, And when it's time to run the national anthem, there was supposed to be a loop between two sprockets, and there was the loop that slipped out, and it was just straight between the two sprockets. And it caused wowing in the sound. The sound was slow down and speed up, and it just sounded terrible.
Kind of like that kind of sound.
That's the idea. It wasn't near as distorted as that. It just was just changing pitch on a uniform rate.
Okay.
But
are you okay? Oh, that was a sound. I'm sorry.
the pitch was just very slightly, while the music was going on, made for voice it wasn't too bad, but for music it made it sound terrible. And I couldn't figure out why it was happening, and I didn't have time to stop and rethread the projector in the middle of it going on. If I'd have figured out what the problem was.
I remember in the early 80s, in the Bay Area, there was something called Star TV, or the Star Channel, but it was not the stars that we know today, and it would play adult movies at nighttime. And I think the early Playboy Channel did this too, and what they would do is it would be during the daytime up till about 6 or 7 o'clock, it would be some other channel, like some local some local channel with local programming, but then at 6 or 7 o'clock it would turn into the naughty movie channel, and you had to have a special scrambler box on your television to decode that signal. So basically it would tell you like 5 minutes the Playboy channel is going to start, and then you'd watch it, and then it would just turn into like a, you know, sort of a and show jaggedy lines, and you couldn't see anything. But you can kind of mess around with the vertical control and things like that, and maybe try to see a little flash of naked lady or something like that. Did you guys have that sort of scrambling adult channel stuff up in Eureka?
Yeah. I don't remember it switching during the day. It was just, we had a couple of channels on the cable that were scrambled all the time, the scrambling that you're talking about. But one of the more interesting stories that happens is, we were right next to the studio of one of the TV stations in town, and we had for carriage on that, by that station, they sent us a studio feed of the video. We didn't pick their transmitter up off the air and put it on the cable. They just sent us video straight from the studio. So when they finished their transmit broadcast day, they signed off the station, turned off the transmitter, and they just figured they were clear and free. And somebody brought some pornographic video film, some stag films they wanted to watch. And they put it on the projector and run it through this board and watched it on the monitor. Well, this direct feed was still going out on the cable, and all of our cable subscribers got to see the stag film that night.
I remember when the time would switch over to the adult channel, you'd see the logo of the channel like coming in 5 minutes, you know, and they would basically have PG rated promos for that channel to get you to subscribe to it, and then it would switch over and you couldn't watch it anymore unless you subscribed. But one night, like, it went on for about 15 minutes without them decoding it. And it was almost like you won the lottery.
How old were you?
32. No, I was like, I think I was like 15. I remember here's an embarrassing story. I was at my grandma's house, and I was slipping through, and when you would switch to, like, the Playboy channel, it would be scrambled. You know, you would just see a bunch of lines. But there was some weird quirk in the remote where when you switch to it for about a half second, you'd actually see a clear picture. And then it would scramble. So you'd see, but he'd black and white, but you actually could see the image. So what you would do is go back and forth between the channel before the Playboy channel, and then that one, when you go, and then most of, like, 8 times out of 10, you wouldn't see anything, but then every now and then you'd see, like, a nipple or a shot obeeve, as they said on the street. And then she caught me doing that. And then she showed me that she actually subscribed to it and showed me the right code to watch it. She liked tranny porn. It was pretty bad. Tranny Grannies was one of her favorite movies.
another incident that happened on the cable, we had a new religious channel came on the cable.
Like one of those Jim and Tammy Baker kind of things?
Yeah, something like that, but it wasn't Jim and Tammy Baker. But it was, I don't
maybe it was was it Trinity Broadcasting Network, maybe?
It could have been Trinity or Three Angels or something. Yeah. It's an early version of an all-religious channel. And we were in the head end, and I was showing the general manager around. We had some kind of a celebration that evening, and everybody was in the building. And I was showing the general manager the satellite receivers and how they I just tuned it from one channel to another and back. Well, anyway, in the process, I didn't get it back on the right channel. I got it on the wrong channel, and there was some pornographic programming went out on the religious channel for all night that night.
Did the donations go up that evening?
Yeah, could be. I don't know how it financially affected the station.
Well, I know you were a hero to the cable watchers in that area for many years. I remember you would never truly have time off of work. You would get calls at 3 in the morning, like, you know, Carl, the Golf Channel's screwed up. Get back in here and fix it. And you did go do it. Yep. You were above and beyond to keep everybody happy watching their television, climbing up towers on rainy days and falling off of stuff. And we were very one of the first cable guys and
one of the best. You had 3 or 4 technicians and went for plant outages, and whenever they got to a problem that they couldn't resolve on their own, they would call me for help. And if anything in the equipment at the office, the satellite receivers, the modulators, the combining networks, if anything went wrong with that, they called me, and I was the only one to fix it. The AML microwave, there was the only one that could really knew what was going on with the microwave.
I just remember being so popular. Hi. I just remember being popular with all my friends because we had all the stations, because we had to subscribe to everything because, you know, Dad had to see it to fix it. And so all my friends would want to come over to our house to watch MTV and HBO and all the cool stuff.
Yes. My dad didn't work for cable. But he, we got free, oh my God.
What?
We had like a ghost in our living room just now. There was like this thing on a shelf that just fell down.
This paper floating through the air.
It was rather eerie. It was like a ghost whisperer. Well, I think on that note, we're going to stop recording now.
Because we're all going to go screaming out of the house.
Oh, a ghost. I'm going to call Art Bell, tell him what's up. Hey, have you seen Art Bell's new wife?
No.
He married this, like, 15-year-old Filipino girl. Just some mail-order bride. Well, maybe she's 18, maybe, in dog years.
Aww.
He, like, his wife died, like, 3 months ago. And then he, like, instantly married this, like, hot little Filipino babe that's like a third his age?
Haven't seen her. I knew his wife died, and I'd heard he was getting married again, but that's about all I know. On the cable outages, you get New Year's Eve on two or three times on New Year's Eve. Somebody stepped outside the front door. One case, somebody stepped outside the front door with a shotgun, fired a shotgun into the air, hit our trunk cable dead center about a block from the office, took every subscriber we had out, and we worked on that. Had several cables, worked on that most of the night, getting service restored to the subscribers on New Year's morning.
Did they find out who did it?
No. We think we know who did it, but there's no way to prove it.
Who do you think did it?
The people living right directly, right, the door closest to the damage on the cable.
We know you're out there. Hick Mick Pig Rape, we're going to get you.
Another time on New Year's morning, somebody fired a rifle, a 30-30 or some such rifle in the air. It hit the insulator on a 60,000 volt transmission, power electrical transmission line. Dropped the line, and then the 60,000 volt line hit our cable and took out amplifiers all over the city. We were working all day the next day repairing amplifiers around the neighborhood.
I remember reading about how, like, in the early 60s, they put a cable amplifier on John F. Kennedy's head, and then when he was driving to Dealey Plaza, it got shot off. It screwed up TV for about a week. Well, that happy to... Bye, everybody. Say goodbye to the internet, everybody.
Goodbye.
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 That's all the time we have for today. Join us in a few days, and we'll have episode 78 up for you. We'll leave you today with the theme to the arcade game classic of yesteryear, Ghosts and Goblins. Have a good day, everybody. Gail did.